be with you.
And also with you.
A holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep. But since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things that they had seen. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It was just 2 weeks ago that we got that call from Sam that Sharon was fighting for her life in the intensive care unit in Burlington. And when I got to the hospital, walked in from the parking garage, I was met by Sam's son who guided me. I don't know if you've ever been to Burlington Hospital, but it's like a city. Down corridors and up the elevators and around the corners and finally to where Sam and Sharon's son Barry and Barry's wife Annette were keeping vigil over Sharon. Most of you know what an intensive care room is like. It's sort of a perpetual twilight, and there's a strange mix of hushed voices and nonstop activity and that continual humming and beeping and buzzing that comes from all those big machines clustered around the hospital bed. It's a very surreal atmosphere, but in that place, we gathered around Sharon and we anointed her, and together we prayed for her. We prayed the prayers for the end of her life, the last rites, we call it, to bless her and commend her into her father's keeping if he was choosing to take her home that night, because we didn't know. And we also prayed that God would be gracious and let her stay with us longer and heal her. And in that strange and foreign place, we could feel so strongly that God was there among us. And I would say that on that night, we had a mountaintop experience. We had a moment when we could feel the presence of God with us in our need. I think there are a lot of different kinds of mountaintop experiences. We often think of them as just those times when we're in worship or on a retreat. Maybe we're with a large group of people and this glorious singing, or maybe we're in a small intimate gathering. And we feel that excitement or euphoria and a strong sense of God's presence with us. But I think it's more common for us to experience the presence of God in hard times, when we're afraid, when we're really sad, when we're anxious, when we're in despair. Sometimes it's when our whole life just seems to be caving in around us that we most clearly hear that still small voice of God that assures us we're not alone, we're not hopeless. And suddenly there's that light that breaks into our darkness and we have hope. And I think those are also mountaintop experiences, because they're moments when we're lifted up out of that plane of our natural lives for just a moment, and God reveals himself in that moment supernaturally to us as he is. It might be, it might be that we're not even able to describe it afterwards, but in our hearts we know what we know, and that knowledge is something that stays with us. Today, it's the Feast of the Transfiguration, so we read those two great mountaintop experiences in the Bible, very dramatic ones. The first, when God called Moses up onto Mount Sinai and gave him all the instructions that the Israelites were going to need to live as his holy nation. not just the Ten Commandments, but the whole legal system and all the health regulations and the exact specifications for the construction of the tabernacle, which was their portable temple that they carried along with them during all their years in the wilderness. And when Moses came down from being with God on the mountaintop, not only did he have all those instructions and commands, but he'd been physically changed. In Genesis, it says that Moses' face was shining. And that's not metaphorically, like we would say somebody's face is shining because we think they look really happy. And not shining in some way that we can explain by some physical phenomenon, like they got a really bad sunburn. It was a supernatural shining, so that when he came down from the mountain and people saw him, they were afraid of him because they could see by his faith that he had been with God. And then we also read the other great mountaintop experience that happened about 2,000 years later when Jesus took Peter and James and John up on a different mountain to pray. It's a sort of leadership retreat. And as they were there, Jesus began to change right before their eyes. His face and his clothes began to shine dazzling white. Literally, Luke says they flashed like lightning. And Mark, who heard the whole thing from Peter, said that Jesus' clothes became whiter than anybody on earth could bleach them, which was his sort of plain-spoken way of saying this is not something that can be explained in human terms. It was divine, not human. God was there. And they were terrified, not because God is bad and scary, but because the glory of God, even in small doses, is overwhelming. Most of us probably will never have an experience with God that dramatic. But we have times in our lives when we do feel the presence of God with us in a way that goes beyond anything we can explain away in natural terms. Maybe we have a sense of great comfort or peace or joy when there is all around us just sadness or despair, or maybe it's a sure and sudden sense of hope, not because the circumstances around you have changed, but because you know, you suddenly know that no matter what happens, you are not alone. Or maybe you just have a sense of awe, as if just for a moment, the curtains of heaven blew open a little bit and you caught a glimpse of that incredible, perfect goodness that's beyond our human comprehension. We have times like that in our lives. And if you sometimes have that experience, sometimes you might find that it's hard to know what to do with it. What do we do with our mountaintop experiences? And you're not alone if you felt like that. Even Peter, who was a personal friend of Jesus himself, got so overwhelmed by the whole thing that he just started babbling. It's a good thing we're here, he said. We can build three tents. We'll build one for you here, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Because sometimes when we have these experiences of the presence of God, the only thing we can think of to do is to stop and package it up. We just want to keep it. We want to hold on to that feeling that we have forever. But I think that's very much like seeing a glorious rainbow in the sky and worrying so much about getting a good photograph of it that we forget to stand and enjoy it. And then it fades away. Sometimes instead of enjoying God's presence, instead of basking in it, we just get wrapped up in holding on to the feeling of it. Even on that day of the transfiguration, the feeling, the glory had to fade away. And they had to go back down to the mountain, and they had to go back to real life. But while they were still on the mountain, and while Peter was babbling about making tents, a cloud came down and overshadowed all of them, and God spoke to them out of the cloud. "This is my son, the chosen one," he said. "Listen to him." The first thing for us to do when we feel the presence of God with us is just to be quiet, just to listen. Be still and know, like those verses that I read from Psalm 46 this morning. The more we try to hold on to our experience, our sensations, the more we try to be in control of it, the less we receive from God. in the way that he wants to give us. There's a wonderful verse in the first chapter of 2 Corinthians. I like it because it is true, and I like it because it is wonderfully convoluted. Paul wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Such a fun verse. And I think our mountaintop experiences are very often, at one and the same time, the hardest and the most glorious moments in our lives, and God makes himself known to us. Sometimes in times of loss, or in times of fear, or pain, or loneliness, and despair, and when he ministers to us in those times of our greatest need, those very things that we have been suffering become opportunities to minister to people who are facing the same kinds of obstacles in their own lives. Our mountaintop experience might be knowing God's presence after a painful divorce, or after the loss of a child, or in the midst of overcoming an addiction, or while we're battling cancer. There's so many opportunities in our lives for pain. But whatever those struggles have been, very often we find that God brings into our lives people who are suffering in the same way that we have suffered. And we find that because we have met God in those experiences and been comforted by him, we're able to become comforters ourselves. Because we've known his presence, even for just a moment, we're able to make his presence known to others. Because the thing about gifts from God, and especially this gift of God's presence, which is his greatest gift, like all the gifts that he gives us, he doesn't give it to us for our own personal gratification. The gifts that God gives to us are for the good of others. And so this vision of glory that God gave to Peter and James and John on that day, it had a purpose, not just for them, but for the church. They were being prepared to become the founders and the pillars of this brand new thing that we call the church now. And about 30 years later, what Romy read to us was Peter remembering that day, that moment on the mountaintop. He was remembering while he was in prison in Rome. And he knew that he was going to die soon. And he knew that at that time, the church was under attack by persecution from without and by false teaching from within. It was a dark time in the church. And it was a dark time in Peter's life. And he reminded them glory that he had seen. It wasn't some kind of a clever fairy tale. We didn't make it up, he wrote. We saw the glory of God with our own eyes. We heard the voice of God with our own ears. Pay attention to the teaching that we have for you. It will be a lamp for you shining in a dark place. For 30 years or more, Peter had treasured in his heart that memory of his mountaintop experience, not because he held on to some kind of a feeling, but because he listened, because he believed the truth of what had been revealed to him. And in the fullness of time, his experience became a light for the church in a dark place. We can't hold on to those feelings of joy or comfort or hope that we experience when God reveals himself to us, as much as we would love to hold on to that and just stay there and not keep going. We always have to come back down the mountain again. Our feelings always fade away. But like Moses' shining face, we have been changed. Whenever we've been with God, we have been changed. In some real way, that even other people can see. And like Peter, our experience of God's presence makes us able to be his presence to other people in each in our own unique and very important ways to comfort others with the comfort with which we have been comforted. Or to encourage others with the encouragement with which we have been encouraged. To bring light into their lives as light came to us in a very real way.